Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you are now tuned in to the real Sean Ross Talk Show and Jam Session with Sean MacDaddy Ross. And yours truly, DJ Sir J Boogie. Let's go!
Sean Ross. Sean Ross. Sean Ross from No Limit. And you tuned in. Sean Ross. And you tuned in. Mean team in the building.
Central State and Omega Sci-Fi stand up.
We are in the building. I got DJ Sir J Boogie in the building. Live radio talk show and jam. Says, what's up, DJ? What's going on, Q Dog?
Hey, man, we in the building. Trying to make radio great again, man. That's all.
Okay, we're going to do it. Hey, with no further ado, I got to bring this brother to the stage. He is a phenomenal manager, innovator, motivational speaker. He is documented in the music business and in the movie business. I'm trying to tell everybody, this brother has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Y'all give it up for my brother, my friend. Y'all give it up for Quadri in the building. Quadri, what's going on, Quadri? Quadri, can you hear me? Quadri, is this phone on the phone? Oh, Quadri, I see him on the line. Oh, Quadri, where you at? Where did you fall off? Are you in the building? Take your phone off mute. Your phone, your cheek is on the mute button. Your phone is on, your cheek is on the mute, on your mute button on your phone. Try that, Quadri. You know how that happened. What's up, DJ Sir J Boogie?
What up? What's going on, man?
All right. Hey, slow motion, man. Let me ask you, did you have an opportunity to talk to Mean Green? I know he's in the building coming up real soon.
Yeah, he's going to be giving us a call. He'll be calling in real soon. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited about talking to him, man, get some history on the South, you know. In the music game, so most definitely.
Yeah. So, how's your day been today, bro? And DJ Sir J Boogie, before we bring the guests on, tell them what you got going on in Houston. What's been going on with you? You was under the weather. We glad to have you back for real, man. I mean, on the Q Sci-Fi tip, man, it is an honor and pleasure. I don't care, you know, just talking to you, General, and your walk and what you have to overcome and succumb, man. I want people to know more about DJ Sir J Boogie. Can you give us a bullet point on your travels from Los Angeles to Ohio and then back to Houston?
My people been in L.A. Los Angeles since like 1987. You know what I'm saying? And I ended up going back out to Ohio. That's where we moved from. Ended up going back out there to go to Central State University, HBCU in the building. Now I'm out here in Houston, Texas, man, making it happen. Shout out to everybody at Cafe 4212. I'm there on weekends if you want to catch me spinning live, you know what I'm saying? But I travel. I do other things, too, in other places in the country. So just living my best life, man, living my dream and pursuing my vision.
Okay. So tell us about some of the organizations that you presently work with.
Most definitely Omega Sci-Fi.
Let's talk about your walk. Can you tell everybody about your walk with Omega Sci-Fi, how you began the fret, and what were the goals and aspirations of you being a part of this illustrious organization?
My grandfather was a member. My father was a member. I saw it coming up, but I didn't really fully understand until I started, probably about high school, I started going to, you know, sneaking off to college parties and frat parties and things like that. And, you know, I looked at all the other fraternities, man, but Omega just was, you know, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
I'm going to do it. So I did it. Roo-roo. Eta Gamma, Central State University is where I pledged, which Sean McDaddy Ross pledged me, you know.
Okay, that part.
Yes, sir.
That part. Okay, all right, that's what we're saying. All right, we must. I got another young man that just tuned in, and I think you know him. I'm going to let you bring this brother back on. Bring him on, Jay Boogie. Bring him on. He's live. Both of them are live. They're live, and we live. We got a bona fide show today, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from this station break, I'm bringing two brothers that's documented in the business. They are on the line. Their mics are hot. So at this next commercial, as we pay the bills, we're going to get started. Hold on, y'all.
Right on.
Joyful Expressions Paint and Taste Studio is a fun place to celebrate any occasion. We provide every guest with an apron, easel, canvas, brush, paint, and an instructor to guide you step by step through the creation of your masterpiece. Come on time so that you can pick a good seat and order your drink. Joyful Expressions now has Taco Tuesday, a margarita wine and two tacos with chips and salsa, Thirsty Thursday with wine and snacks, Friday fun night, and Saturday brunch with two wings, a Belgian waffle, and bottomless mimosas. Reserve your seat today at joyfulexpressions.gallery. Prices start at only $24. Joyful Expressions is located at 14800 Southwestern Avenue, number 104 in the city.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
Hey, we're back, y'all. We're back in the building, and it's going down. DJ Sir J Boogie. Oh, you know,
yes,
I've already introduced. You didn't hear his voice, but I think I got my brother Quadri. Are you on the phone? Are you live?
Yes, sir. Could you hear me?
Hey, we got him. Hey. Yeah, we got you, Quadri. We got you. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I think my Oh, yeah, I'm glad to have you. Welcome to the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. And, you know, we don't like to brag about, so God is good all the time. So we do like to talk about sometimes our analytics. We're reaching the people. We're growing. The station, we're up to about 150, 180 listeners per se, up and down. So just everybody out there listening, I want you to know that this brother Quadri is the truth. We're going to get into his story. And I also got another brother. Another brother. In the building, he a bad boy. I believe he's in Texas with you. DJ Sir J Boogie, tell me who else we got in the building.
Man, we got the gatekeeper of the South, man. We got the godfather of radio, man. We got the world renowned Mean Green in the building.
Mean Green, what's going on, brother? Welcome to the show, bro. Welcome to the show.
Entertainment guru.
Oh.
I appreciate it.
Entertainment guru. I love this. So, you know, we gonna tag team on both of y'all, and you know, we invite y'all to tag team back with us. You know, this is a family universe affair. We gonna have some people may call in and call on that, but we just gonna rap. I gotta get y'all what's going on with both of y'all, and we just gonna ride for this hour. All right, fair enough, gentlemen.
Yeah, sir. Sounds good. I want to be a guru.
Okay, first Quadri. Okay, me too. I want to be a guru. Yeah, guru. I mean, man, Quadri, I can't say enough about you. I'm not sure, Mean Green, if you had opportunity to cross paths with Quadri, but I'm pretty sure in our universe, what we start today, because we like to grow organically, and, you know, it ain't how you start, but how you finish in life. So, for me, being the host of this show with the DJ Sir J Boogie and the beautiful Keisha Baker, whenever she gets the time to chime in, we doing something. We going to make it happen. And I'm glad to be blessed to have y'all on the show, and we just thank you first. Now, getting to the good part, Quadri, and then we're going to Mr. Mean Green. So, when we talk about management and the skills of management, I wanted to know how what got you motivated to become a choose to be a manager for the artists that you deal with or have dealt with in the past?
Okay. Yeah, well, basically, you know, I started out just promoting shows and then just treating the artists good, you know, with hospitality. And I really lost a lot of money on hospitality, but that's just who I am. You know, I wanted to make sure the artist was taken care of. So sometimes, you know, artists want to stay in town an extra day, so you got to pay for extra hotel room. You got to buy the transportation. And so from that, you know, a lot of the artists like you, you know. And then they want you to basically, you know, represent them.
You basically was planting seeds, though. Those were good seeds you was planting right there.
Yeah, but, I, you know, like I said, I had no choice. That's just who I am, you know what I mean?
I feel you.
Yeah, yeah.
In essence, when you plant those seeds, you had to know that sometime may have been complications in the seeds where you said you mentioned that you lost a lot of money promoting shows as a promoter. Do you feel that it was an investment that you now ran a return on your investment for now managing some of those artists, such as Boyz II Men? That's no small joke. Boyz II Men, Archie, that's something you like, wow, them guys, multi-platinum artists, did their thing under your management skill. So do you think now the rewards are greater now for your legacy than what you spent in essence of planting your seeds?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the thing about it. You know, not only that, I'm really doing what I enjoy doing. You follow me? Like, as a kid, I'm not an entertainer. I always knew that I was somebody that was behind the scenes, and that was my purpose in life. And I knew it as a kid. So I just wanted to basically help people, you know, and be with the biggest group in the world or the biggest artist in the world, you know, meet the most prettiest girls and meet kings and queens. And
yeah,
I
know.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
Yes, and to mention that, you know, you say artists, you had, to me, in my time, in our era, you had the biggest group. You got the Boyz II Men, the biggest artists that I've seen in my time are Hurt, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Deborah Cox. I mean, who haven't you not touched, bro? I mean, on R&B soulful, you done it. How do you sleep at night?
Well, that's the thing, man. Well, the good thing about it, believe it or not, I sleep good at night because, you know, I know I've been doing what's right, you know, and being a purpose, you follow me? But most of the artists that I received, they was from friends of a friend. It was referrals. Like, I don't have no website, you know what I mean? I don't promote myself. I'm really low-key. But all the artists that I was able to get, I was able to be referred to them.
So, like, networking. It was your network.
Yeah, yeah. You know, people seeing what you do. And you know, like, and with Janet, when I got involved with Janet was with Virgin Records. And Virgin Records was like, it was like a Lily White label, you know. And so it was like, you know, British company. And she wanted to remain, you know, black. She, you know, she wasn't trying to, you know, basically be, you know, she's a pop artist because it just means popular, but she wanted to basically keep the grassroots, you know, from the R&B audience. And I was able to do that with her, you know, because at the time I was representing Teddy Riley. So that, like, the No Diggity record was one of my records that I had. And so, and we ended up doing I Get So Lonely. We did a remix with her. And I solidified her in the black audience.
Well, you did a good job. Now, Mean Green, as I said, guru of the South. Now, what made you get into the music business, and what would you say your position in the music business was?
Wow, man, sure. That's I'm sitting here listening to my man's story, and we have a few things in common because, you know, I'm like him. It's all been referrals. You know, I don't I don't believe in that website and you know, all that Twitter and all the extra stuff, man. You know, if you know who you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And So that's kind of how it all came about. But I had another tool that most people didn't have, and I was blessed to have was I was an air personality, so I can also help you from a different standpoint, you know. So by getting people on the radio and help them build a personality and build a popularity, you know what I mean? So so mine started through the radio side, you know, and which I did for – I did radio for like 36 years, you know. So that had a lot to do with it. That's how you know, I was able to take people that weren't even sure, didn't have the confidence that, you know, that they had until they brought me a record that I could tell them, hey, we can work this record, and then we can make some things happen, you know what I mean? And that cultivated that relationship with, you know, everybody from Snoop Dogg to NWA to Master P to E-40 and Do or Die and Destiny Child, you know, and everybody else, man.
You forgot to say too short.
But you know what a lot of people don't realize, really in the music business, you're not really established artist unless you have radio.
Right.
Radio is the
right.
key to all artists' success, is radio.
Yeah.
You know, like, and just like even with what Sean, what you guys are doing as far as with advertisers and all that, but they still want good music for an audience.
Right.
And so
right.
with a guy like me, you know, he's able to hear good music and basically give people that platform that's make them professional, really. Because like I said,
right.
you can't be established artist if you don't have radio.
Right. Even with the social media, that helps, but radio makes you official.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It makes it all official. And
let me ask you two questions. Hold on, hold on one second. I want to ask this question while I got it on top of my mind. What do you think have changed in the operation of doing the music business from when you first started to now? Both of y'all chime in.
This question is for who? Well, to me, I've been blessed to be around, like, when, you know, the Commodores and all those artists was around. So it's like a roller coaster. It's ups and downs. But the good thing is that it's a lot of content now. So, you know, and with it, but if you stay focused, right, if you find something that's really talented and you focus on that, and that's for everybody. If you have a career or, you know, you're an artist, if you focus and you rehearse and you really dedicate to what you're doing, you can win. It's just so many opportunities now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, you know, these days, of course, the social media gives a lot of people an opportunity, even folks who don't have the talent, they get the look. I mean, so you know, even if you don't have the talent of the traditional artists like we've been sitting here talking about that had to put in work and you know, these days a person can be so-called a Instagram person and and get some talent or get their way or get their toe in the dough, so to speak, you know, so that helps them and that's good. But, you know, I'm not knocking nobody for trying to feed their family. It's just things are a little different, you know, and some people don't think you pay the dues you deserve to pay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's I guess that's always going to be there for any generation because of the way things are today, you know. But, not judging nobody or knocking nobody because people still trying to eat and feed their family. But that'd probably be one of the things, you know. But as long as people don't disrespect what they're doing, I think it's all good, you know.
Yeah,
because
you know,
not the person supports you.
And it's like what Sean said, it's basically about sustaining, you know. If and, you know, like Don Cornelius told me one time, I was, matter of fact, it was Deborah Cox, when because Clyde Davis had Deborah Cox, and he was pushing her, and Clyde Davis, and Don Cornelius was a little leery about it because Clyde tried to say she was going to be the next Whitney Houston. And so Don was saying, how could she be the next Whitney Houston when Whitney Houston is Sissy Houston's daughter? She's Dionne Warwick's cousin. You know, she comes from a pedigree of singers. So she, and Deborah was from Canada. And so I started working with Deborah because Clyde Davis had basically reached out to me to manage her. He set up an audition for me at the House of Blues. And when I picked her up, Don was saying, I don't know, Clyde, I don't really think she got it because, you know, but Clyde was pushing her too hard. And he said this, and I never forgot it. He said, the cream always rises to the top. So what I did was everything that she did, I kept informing Don about what she was doing. And then one of the things that I did, I had to fight Clyde Davis with, I asked Clyde Davis to basically, I wanted to make history with her. So my plan was for her to break the record to have the longest R&B single. And at the time, you know, when I went to Clyde about it, I mentioned it to her because it was a guy, you might know him, this guy Lionel Rittenhouse. He was the radio promotion guy for Arista Records. So
yeah.
Lionel told me, I got 1 week, number one. And I was like, 1 week? I need more than 1 week because I had just broke Elvis Presley record with Boyz II Men. Like it was, you know, we was 13 weeks number one. And Elvis Presley held the record for 56 years. And he said, well, look, Quad, man, we got Monica, we got Faith Evans, we got Shanice. He said, man, I only could give you 1 week, number one. I was like, no. He said, well, look, you need to talk to Clyde. So I went to Clyde and I was like, hey, man, I want to break the record. And I said, you know who hold the record? He said, yeah, Boyz II Men, right? And I was like, no. And you know, I got him because he was supposed to be a musical historian, right? And so I told him, I said, no, R. Kelly holds a record with a record called Bump and Grind. I'm talking about R&B. And he said, and he looked at me, and he was really embarrassed because he didn't know that R. Kelly had held the record for the best number one R&B single. So when I left his, and wow. I met him at the Beverly Hills Hotel. He was in Marilyn Monroe's bungalow 10. And so when I left, he told me, he said, I got you. He said, put together your marketing plan. He said, and I got you. And I ended up putting together, you know, like a lot of the radio guys. I know you might know like Joey Israel and you know, guy James Cochran, those kind of guys. And we went for it, and we ended up breaking R. Kelly's record, you know. And Deborah had the number one single with a song with Nobody Supposed to Be Here.
And it's so amazing, man, because just to show you how these dots connect from the other side of the world to one side of the world. Speaking of Deborah Cox, I put out an album that came out the same day her album came out.
Right.
And that was 20 years ago now.
Oh,
when
really?
She came on the scene, I guess it was, she came out, the album, her album came out in September of 98. So I guess that was 20.
Yep, yep.
Was that 20
yep, years? Yep.
And we came out the same day with Jay-Z. Hard Knock Life was number one. Tribe Called Quest was number three.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Number two. Lauren was number four. Kirk Franklin was number five, and I was number six on Billboard.
Wow. Well, it's funny, man. I had worked with. I got Q-Tip to do a song with Janet. Gone to is gone.
Oh yeah,
right.
Jam right there.
Yeah.
And I also worked with Kirk Franklin when he had the. You know the Stomp record when he first came out too.
Right.
Yeah, what show?
And the thing I was telling you was this thing was, I put out a compilation. I was the first DJ to have a top 10 compilation.
Wow.
So all the stuff that DJ Khaled doing now, I was a radio personality. And I remember Dugan out in the club the next week. He said, man, how does it feel to have a record in the top 10? I said, man, you know, don't worry about it. Your day is coming. And that was on No Limit. You know what I'm saying? And Khaled was working down in New Orleans, and he was calling me all the time saying, man, I love what you're doing and this, that, and the other. I had no idea who the guy was. I just figured from being around P&M that they gave my number or something. I didn't know, but it just showed you how those dots go. Now, with Deborah, my point is, she was, like, way on down on the charts. She was, like, in the 20s.
Yeah.
And I was tripping out because I was looking up to her as well, and mine was up there because my first week I sound scanned almost 200,000.
Wow.
I did 189,000 that first week. That's why I was in the top 10. Yeah, and that same week Lauren did, she was still doing 70, and she had been out for like weeks, you know what I'm saying?
But but check this out, though, right? Deborah won a Soul Train Award over Lauryn Hill. And the reason for it is like the conversation that I had with Don Cornelius. See, he watched me market this girl. And see, and that's the thing that people don't understand is the fundamentals. You know, like you said, networking, you know, like I got blessed to be able to be at the right place at the right time and to basically have those power luncheons too. And I kept people informed of what I was doing because that's what people don't understand is that the industry is a wonderful industry. People is there just like Sean. Sean has always been helpful to me. Like, I've been doing benefits things. I would call Sean and say, hey, man, I need some artists to come do. And Sean would get right on the phone, reach out to this person, that person, you know. And those kind of things, you know, then that's just like with us. I know who Sean is. Sean said, we're successful. We're powerful. Sean is just as powerful as we are. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's my go-to guy. You know what I mean? And the thing about it, God is first in his life, and he's always he motivates me.
Love y'all.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But like
I was thinking
about retiring. I saw Sean out there on the road, going to different clubs, introducing other people, like you know, trying to keep the nightlife going on. You know, and he would go out, and he's in St. Louis. He's there, and I was following Sean. And I'm telling you, he motivated me to say, man, like, you know, you want to keep your ears to the street. You know, you want to be able to, you know, to be able to help people.
Uh-huh.
Been doing, you know?
I want to say we have an organic group of distinguished gentlemen on the phone by divine order and appointment that we all four are going to get together now in the now and do something prophetically. It's going to last a lifetime and be a print and a model for years to come for the next person to pick up the torch and keep moving. Is that fair enough? Can y'all stand in agreement with me?
I'm in agreement with you on that.
Yeah, I am. Absolutely.
And since I got y'all, we do this. Me and Jay Boogie do this every time we get such good managers and management of the business that are in the business of doing good music. I want to take y'all back down and see if y'all – what does this song does to your memory, and what were you doing when this song was played, and what does it mean to you? In five, in four. I'm going to give y'all just about a minute of it, and just to take y'all back one time. Here we go, y'all. You're tuned to the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session with DJ Sir J Boogie. I got Mean Green on the phone and Big Brother Quadri. That's right, and we're going hard like this, y'all.
Way back down memory lane. I see the happiness. slipping fast.
Oh, I had to stop right there because I was about to tear them down my eyes. And before I get y'all into on this record, y'all, my auntie and my aunt Linda, all the way from through Sacramento through the Bay Area, who's down there with us in L.A., I want her just to say she heard the song. She was like, what's that? We all here down in West Palm Beach for my mom's 70th birthday bash, and we're going to be kicking in West Palm Beach. So if y'all can get here, Mean Green, Quadri, I want y'all to get here. Auntie, tell how you feel about Back Down Memory Lane?
Hey, it's so cool. You know, I'm past that 65 mark, and you know what? Going down memory lane brings back big memories for me.
How about your nephew? I mean,
you know, my nephew's too cool. You know, after 50 some years, what can I say about him? Nothing except he got it going on.
Yeah, and y'all just for the record, she gave. Well, excuse me, my two people, my other aunties here, gave me the worst whoopings in my life. Lord Jesus. Oh, I should call 241 kids. Hey, so what did that song do to you? Quadri, talk to me, baby. Talk to me.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of a station back in Brick City. You know, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. And there's a station called NJR.
Okay.
And, you know, then BLS with Frankie Crocker, you know, and like the Quiet Storm, man. And I mean, that's what made me love the music business, too. That's like the 70s music, man. You know what I mean? And that's what, like I said, that's to me the best music was during that time, man.
Okay, Mean Green. What did it do to you, Mean Green?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, you came out, you know, you're like the Jersey boy just said it. It lays the foundation, and that's music that's going to always live, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That music will always live, and as long as those artists in that sector want to work, I think it's always, and I've always said this, I know it may sound repetitious to some people that's been around me, but as long as they want to go to work, they can always go to work because that music will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's going to always be the people that appreciate that music. Now, of course, what it did for me, I mean, you know, that's where the good music came from, you
yeah,
know,
sure.
During that era. You know, like you said, he was in Jersey, and I grew up in Louisiana, but I was a radio person, and I was into radio from everywhere. That's how I call myself getting better. Because I was listening to Frankie Crockett or trying to get an air check to him, you know what I mean, from WBLS. And yeah. Way later in life, they ended up offering me a job. So I had the best of both worlds, from K-Day to BLS, flip a coin. But those
K-Day.
Songs and those DJs back during that time, like I was telling you earlier, when I met P and all those guys, he'll tell you nobody else was playing Master P music. You know, he didn't get played in New Orleans. You know, he didn't get famous in New Orleans. Not from that. You know, he got famous once he got to Mean Green and E-40 and all those guys. They wasn't getting played at KML in the Bay Area. You know what I mean? I was playing their music first, and then we put the pressure on those other areas. So
yeah.
when you can get that love from the radio, that helped a whole lot. You see what I'm saying? And those people like Frankie Crockett and Spider Harris and those guys, mm-hmm. they would break those Stephanie Mills and
yeah,
Shalimar
yeah.
kind of people.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Yeah. And then later on, Tom Joyner and all those guys, you know. So that's how that came about. And that kind of music will always live. You know, it's a concert
Man.
Coming to town next month, and let's see, in about a month or so, and it's got Rolls Royce on there. When the last time you heard that name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But no, you know what? When you mentioned Stephanie Mills, that's the artist I had lost money with. She started dating Jeffrey Daniel. and Jeffrey was with Shalimar. And
yeah.
And they just started dating because, you know, and so they wanted to stay an extra couple of days, man. That's the artist I lost money with.
Well,
on
yeah.
hospitality. But I became friends
yeah.
with him, you know, to this day. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
Mills, that's the artist, man. I mean, man, they wanted
yeah.
I had to get him a limo, hotel, and Jeffrey,
yeah.
you know, he was with Shalimar. He was from California. He was a Soul Train dancer and just got into Shalimar, cut into Stephanie Mills, and he wanted to romance her, you know. And it was like, we want to stay a couple of days in Jersey. You know, we don't want to go to New York. And, man, and I ended up spending the profit on them, you know. But like I said, it was worth
yeah, if I remember correctly, he the one that actually came up with that dance.
Yeah, the pop.
No. He was the one that came up with the dance that Michael Jackson used to do when he
yeah,
flew across
the floor. Moonwalk.
The moonwalk, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, he did that. Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
he showed it to Mike, and Mike took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, just the memories, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the memory lane. And I see you two gentlemen are really, I would say in my era, the pioneers of from a managerial side and breaking artist side. Yeah, it's duly to be noted and edified, and you know, and that's where we at with it. And I'm going to continue to edify Mr. Mean Green and Quadri for Mean all the days. I'm on here, so yeah, we gonna keep moving and grooving. And right now, I got to switch it just for one topic to see if both of y'all can tell me the difference. Now, this is where we get a little more personal in debt after this commercial break. I want to start something. I'm going to have to ask y'all about your personal life just a little bit and how you separate from the two. Let me do this station ID break. We want to pay the bills. Stay on the air.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, KEWRDB, or its affiliates.
Hey, we're back on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session with DJ Serge Boogie, Mean Green, and Quadri. The Mean Team, we all together, baby. That's how we do. Hey, so I got to ask a question to Brother Quadri and Brother Mean Green. And Jay Boogie, feel free to chime in. How do you separate your personal life from the entertainment industry? And how do you protect the ones that are in it as well with you?
For me, it's my life. It's my life. It's just who I am. It's my livelihood. You know, I remember when, you know, with the accountants, when I would do certain things, you know, just like a lot of times people get upset with, you know, when the artists have the luxurious cars or whatever, and, you know, the mansions or whatever, but that's part of the business. You know what I mean? So my life is music, is entertainment. It's like, I mean, you know, I'm a middleman. I get calls from all over around the world. Like that's what I'm doing now. Like I got people calling me from South Africa, Bangkok, you know, Korea, Japan, Singapore, Australia, you know, and I'm able to travel around the world, and you know, and my expenses get taken care of.
Now that's right. Mean
yeah.
Green. Yes. So how do you feel about that? How do you handle it?
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I missed the first part of that. The thing clicked off on me. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
The question is actually, how do you set your personal life from your being in this business when you know people usually
if you're in this business, you feel it's going to come to females, et cetera. And you, if you're married or with a girlfriend, there usually is a sense of a jealousy of your job and commitment work. How do you prone to separate the two?
Well, to be honest with you, I've been very, very blessed, man, very fortunate to come up in this business the way I did. And my high school sweetheart turned out to be my wife, and my was very young. You understand? So I did something in 92 that I promised myself I would never do again because my family, I went on the road. And in 92 with Tupac, and mm-hmm. also went back on the road with a group called Too Much Trouble, the Baby Ghetto Boys, and it was Rap-A-Lot Records in 92. So I worked in management with Rap-A-Lot, and I was gone for like almost 4 months, and my kids was at home, and I had 3 boys and a girl, and I was like, you guys got to be strong, got to be. You know, you can't let people know I'm gone and this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? And so it was a whole different thing. But that's what you had to do back during those times because you had to hit the road. And even on a promotional run with a new artist, you had to hit the road. You know what I mean? Because everybody was getting radio, you know. And so you had to go kiss the baby, so to speak. It's almost like politicians, you know what I'm saying? You had to put in the work and you know, you had to go. We did a 33-city tour. Well, first of all, Rap-A-Lot had never done that before, believe it or not. And Mind Plant Tricks was rolling at the time, but they still had never done a promotional tour at that level. You know what I'm saying? So we hit areas that the Ghetto Boys had never done. And it helped them a lot because it gave them a lot of input and a lot of information about what needs to be done in the future, you know what I mean? They own a little survey, so to speak. So for the other part, that wasn't really a problem for me, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because my focus was clear, was on my family to make sure that whatever sacrifices I had to make, it was for them, you know?
Right.
So that's the way it went for,
the views and
know,
comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E Water Radio.
And that went on for like, I don't know, 20-some years, especially once P's career took off. P and I traveled quite a bit, and I used to joke about it. We got 3 bags already packed. You know, we had one for the west, one for the east, and one for the middle.
Yeah.
And so he'll call me at the last minute and say, Green, meet me at the airport. Where are we going? Are we going to New York? Okay, I got a bag for that. You know what I mean? It's already
front door,
and I just tell my wife, hey, we got to go to New York, and she understood. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
wow.
that's what made our life better. You know what I mean? That was our livelihood. Plus, I'm still on the radio, keep in mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the radio every day, and then I was helping people. I was also a consultant for when I heard my man talking about the bungalow. I consulted Source Magazine with Dave Mays and Ray Dawg. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
And you talking about falling out of control, fellas. You know, Pete was a hard worker. Don't get me wrong, but boy, you ain't never seen nobody ball any harder than Benzino, Mr. Benzino,
I'm familiar with him.
Damn bungalow and stay there for a month. And it's $2,500 a day.
Yeah.
It's $2,500 a day at that bungalow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the same hotel that Whitney Houston passed away in. She was in a regular room. The bungalow's in the back. They're 3,600 square feet, fully laid out. And you can order whatever room you want to order at 3 in the morning, and the chef's going to show up with a whole staff to feed you. Please understand. So, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So I've been very, very fortunate, man. So I never had that problem, you know, for as distinguishing because everything was always put in a category where we had to do this, we had to do that. I'm not saying I'm perfect because it didn't work out perfectly, but we went through a lot together because I always used to – I raised E-40. I raised Snoop Dogg. You know, I raised Warren G. You know, I raised a lot of guys in his industry, at Master P. And all of them, I tell them the same thing were coming up, was whoever was struggling with you on your way up, those are the people that deserve to be with you now that you are.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And keep in mind now, hip-hop is a little different than R&B, because R&B, but everybody have the problems. Everybody had the girls. Everybody had whatever. Whoever struggled with you on your way up. And I said, because I was doing the same thing. We did our thing coming up, and we had kids and everything. We moved to Houston and did this, that, and the other, and got back into it. But when things got better, I was glad that my family got a chance to embrace some of those good times. Because, we went through all the struggles. You feel me? And that's the reason why I said that 92 trip was eye-opening. But at the same time, I hated being away for that whole summer, without my family. Yeah. But it was a sacrifice you had to make. You know what I mean? And I can give you some other sacrifices we made later on when I met Mr. Knowles and started teaching him the industry. You know what I'm saying? He made sacrifices that end up, being homes, but you see how it all worked out. You see what I'm saying?
But you know what it is though? To make the long story short, it's our God gift talent. It's our purpose. It's just like what Sean said. That's that, and once you realize what your purpose in life is. And so this is what my purpose is. And so that's why I never had a problem with nobody not understanding my livelihood or my life or what I enjoy doing. You know, like my wife, I met her at a concert. I met her. I was working. I was in the entertainment business when I met her. And I never did nothing else. I started out passing out flyers. I never did nothing else. I never worked at McDonald's, and I always been in the music and entertainment business.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now I have to say that is incredible. That is incredible.
But not only that, I wasn't there to raise my kids neither. Like I was on the road. Like I remember, like one of my sons, he's in the entertainment business now, but I didn't push him to go that route. But
the views and comments expressed do not
reflect. Two of my sons, I wasn't there, And they understand, Yeah.
So is that what you say? What you say that you would resent? What do you most resent from being both you gentlemen and being in this music business?
No, man, I don't resent nothing. Man. I tell you, I love my life. I love everything. Because it's life lessons, everything that, everything that I did, I might have questioned it before when it was happening, but now I understand. Every place I went, everybody I met, it was, by design. I mean, I got advice from Oprah. I got advice from Bill Cosby, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Nelson Mandela, and I would see them, crossing that path, and they would drop something on me, man.
Yeah, I think it was all a part of those things, and the only thing that I think that I don't know if the word would be resent, but we'll throw it in there. But you just want because in hip hop it's a little different. And I was fortunate enough to do, the R&B thing too. Don't get me wrong, because you got to remember we started on the second half of my life, because the first part of my life I did rock and roll.
Wow.
So I did rock and roll for 12 years, and that's where I really learned the business. I was able to go out on the road with Bon Jovi and another Jersey boy. They weren't even popular yet, and then all of them were skinny, and just enjoying what they were doing, and Huey Lewis and the News and Bruce Hornsby and all these guys. That's how we got away with using some of those samples when we got to No Limit, and because they were surprised that I knew Halen and all those dudes, You know what I'm saying? So we were able to use the samples, and I still talk to them. So my point is this, with the hip-hop side, getting as dangerous as it was, I kind of sheltered because my kids wanted to get into it too. I got my youngest son is in the music business, but I tried to shelter them as much as I could. I didn't want to deter them, but I just wanted people to be safe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because hip-hop can get goofy over nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can be from the east or from the west. You got this child. You know, that silly stuff that's not going to help anybody. And so, you know, once he got to the point where he was older and went to school and majored in music and got a clear understanding, but you still got to go through the bull and the politics and he wanted to make his own way, which is cool. As a matter of fact, Sean, he got something in common with you and Jay Boogie. You know what I'm saying? He got something in common with y'all. So that's one of those situations. And so I don't really have a lot of regrets. I that's the only thing I was cautious of. I just wanted people to be safe. You know what I mean?
Because we did lose
people. You know, I was managing Tupac and Scarface at the same time when we had this shootout in Shreveport. You know what I mean? And we had done the show. We left the show, went to the after party, left the after party, went back to the hotel. And, I had Pimp C and all them with me. And you know, after every show, y'all, I used to just terrorize people, man. I didn't care who it was. It'd be 40. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
I go back 20, 30 years. So, you know, I'm a big dude. So I just come in there, man, at the last minute. Next thing you know, I'm wrestling all of them at the same time, you know. We got to be wrestling now, hungry. You know what I mean? The Waffle House right across the street. We go across the street to the Waffle House like we've done so many times before in cities. And go over there, man. And a matter of fact, at that time, Scarface bodyguard was Quanio X. And Quanell said, "Green, you think I need to go?" I said, "Well, I'm good. I mean," and Faye's like, "Oh, we good." So we just going right across the street, and we met a bunch of nice people, man, just getting off from work at the hospital. And next thing you know, these gang dudes, man, come in talking about some song that we had no idea what they're talking about, throwing up signs I ain't never seen before. And next thing you know, we have a complete shootout at the damn Waffle House. We're going to fight for, which I'm thinking, okay, well, I can go and wash this up real quick with these jokers and build my appetite up some more. You know what I'm saying? So another brother from Fifth Ward dusting off a couple, and next thing you know, dude, get to the trunk of his car, pull out a shotgun, man, and just go crazy. You know what I mean? And that's how quick things change. And then the police was inside of the Waffle House down the whole time. He in there on a date with his girl, and he down all, and then at the last second he get up, put his gloves on, and shoot Scarface homeboy in the back. Now the guy outside with the shotgun shooting inside, he shoot this kid in the back, killed him, and that's the crazy part of the hip hop. You see what I'm saying?
But we had the same problem in R&B, like. I was with New Edition when they got in the thing with Guy. And with Bird, Bird was one of the production guys. And one of the guys got killed with Gene Griffith and all that kind of stuff. And then I was on tour with MC Hammer. And my partner got killed. I got shot. That's how it
was.
From that point, the guys tried to rob us. And they really was trying to rob MC Hammer. And then, they came and they tried to get my partner, who I grew up with, and our dream was to be the biggest group in the world. And they killed him. Like, he called me, and he had the guys in the elevator. And he called me, and I went out because, you know, we grew up together. We was enforcers, you know. So, because I grew up in the Nation of Islam. So, you know, and we was enforcers. And he called me. I went to the elevator with him, and I saw the guys, and they looked like, you know, because, you know, we was out there. We had people coming to us, want to sing and audition, all that kind of stuff. And I looked at the guys, and one of them looked like he was like a cousin of mine. And so as soon as we went to close the door, man, they fired. Pow, pow. because they had criminal records. One of the guys worked for the parking attendant. The other one worked as a bellman, and they all was partners. They was there to rob him, man. So we had incidents right out. But the thing of it is that when that happened, because, you know, I guess I was who I am, I didn't let that stop us. Because, I mean, like Boys to Men's mother and them, they were saying they didn't want the kids back on the road. They was like, I mean, Wanye was 16 years old at the time. You know, they was like between 16 and 17 years old. And the guy that got killed was their guardian. And so they was like, oh, we don't want him. And my man, I'm shot in the kneecap. And I was like, hey, we got to go on, you know. And so, and we basically went on, man. And you know what I mean? And then, I mean, it's like God just lined things up. You know, I was out there on crutches and people was helping me. Like, I would go on the tour bus before everybody because I didn't want people to see me in crutches, you know, that type of stuff. But, it's that world out there, man. But, you know, that's what I mean. We can't let nothing stop us. You know what I mean? And I was involved with rap music. I played Sugar Hill Gang 15 days after they came out. And I signed a deal with Joey Robinson. Joey Robinson, his mother was she made the Pillow Talk, Sylvia Robinson.
Sylvia.
And Joey Sr. was his father. And I signed a deal with them on a napkin, man. And I was in college. And I booked them, and their record hit. And then I booked Curtis Blow. Russell didn't even have a picture for Curtis Blow. He was in college. And at the time, we didn't have FedEx, none of that shit, right? We didn't have FedEx or nothing. I kept going to Russell, man, I need a picture because I need to promote. We should do these Blow posters. And he didn't have the picture for him. But and then when I did Run DMC, they were snatching chains at the time. So it was like, it was a lot of incidents. So, you know, I didn't want to go into getting insurance for the rap artists. So I went away from the rap music and I went into R&B.
I don't have enough time remotely. I am under I'm like time sure flies when you're having fun, breaking bread, building.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just gonna have to make an executive decision to have y'all come back on the show but next month, this is the last show. We got one more week, JBoogie, one more week before next week. You know what? I'm gonna make an executive decision that we're gonna continue the show. If y'all brothers are free next week, we're going to finish this because it ain't enough time. It ain't enough time. It's just not enough time. So, you know, if y'all want to come back, if you do, or we'll put it back in October because I'm going to bring y'all back. Just know that. I mean, how can people find y'all? Let me just do this last bit of tag before I'm adding it to the mix. I mean, sometimes organically, you just got to let it go. So, let's
What's
do this.
Up?
Mr. Green, being green, how can people get in contact with you? What's your tag, your social media?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
okay, well, no further ado.
Yeah. Hey,
well, you got to get in contact with us there when you touch me.
Hey, that's a good question. I'm gonna tell you this here. My son and Jay know what I'm talking about. These young people, man, they keep me abreast. But I'm like the Jersey boy, you know. I ain't got no website and all that, but they got me on Instagram now, so I'm on Facebook and let me do this real quick too. And I appreciate this minute, so I know you got to run, but I want to send a shout out to my son. Today is his birthday, and y'all earlier. He's the youngest, and he's he got something in common with y'all. He's Omega Psi Phi.
All right, the Cheetah Q's, Mama Glow, happy birthday. Hey, I just want to say I love y'all, Quadri. I'm going to have y'all back, me and Green. Ten seconds, y'all, but we're going to keep the music playing. I just want to say love y'all. We're going to get together next week. Quadri, Miss Mean Green, thanks for coming.
Yeah, that'd
DJ
be great,
Sir,
man.
Jay, but you know how we do. All right,
man.
All right. We y'all coming back.
I love y'all, man.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dogs. For the dog that takes this tale, we'll be busy.
Thank y'all for walking. Thank you for tuning in to the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session with DJ Sir J Boogie, Mr. Mean Green, and Brother Quadri in the building. Much love for y'all. Thank y'all for coming. Tune in next week. DJ Sir J Boogie, love you, bro.
I love you too, dog.
All right. We're real. Keep South Five today. We die. Happy birthday, Brother Quad. We in West Coast. We turned up.
Rookie Rain. What up? Rookie Rain. Mama Linda.
Mama Linda. Love you, Mama Linda, on the West Coast. Pray when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Peace.
I ever said it.